Now we can turn it down.
Okay, I think it's about that time. We'll bring the meeting of the Dorchester County Board of Appeals to order. I have a few things that you'll have to bear with me. I have to read for you before we get started with the actual meeting. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Lynn Spicer, Chairman of Dorchester County Board of Zoning Appeals. Before we get started, I want to review our procedure for conducting each hearing. The staff will read all reports and official documents pertaining to the case. The applicant or his agent will make his presentation. Any person wishing to ask questions or cross-examine the applicant or his witness may do so. Any person wishing to testify in this case, either in favor or against the application, may testify. Prior to testifying, please sign the sheet on the podium and speak your name and address clearly for the record. Please do not speak from the audience. You must be recognized by the chair before speaking and come to the podium to speak on the record. The applicant may then ask questions or cross-examine persons who testify in the case. There may be questions from the board at any time. Then I will announce the closing of evidence. There will be a brief period of deliberation. I will call for motions. The board will make its decision. Any persons who testify tonight will be notified by mail of this board's decision. Any person or party aggrieved by our decision may appeal it to the circuit court within 30 days. Finally, this board will be making its decision based solely on the testimony presented tonight. At the podium and on the table, you will see a checklist containing the criteria for a special exception and variance. This is what the applicant in each case must prove in order for us to grant his or her request. Your testimony should be centered around this criteria. As a courtesy to the board members and audience, please turn off your cell phones.
We may have to make an adjustment to the agenda. I'm not sure yet. One of the applicants had a medical emergency very late this afternoon. And it's definitely no fault of theirs. So if they're not here at the time we call the hearing, I would recommend that we just reschedule that case for next
okay.
month.
You're going to let us know.
I will.
When we get to that
yeah.
point.
Yeah.
Case number 2758, Whittington, asking for a special exception at 5945 Horns Point Road, Cambridge, Maryland.
Can you get one to Patrick? This is case number 2758. Whittington is the applicant seeking a special exception. The property location is 5945 Horns Point Road, Cambridge, Maryland, and seeking a special exception to allow construction of an accessory structure greater than the footprint of the principal residence or as allowed by code. The request overage is 1,555 square feet, and the property is located within the Resource Conservation District.
Is the applicant here? You'll be there. Yeah. Representing the applicant.
Agent for the applicant, yes, sir.
Okay, Steve. Yeah, please. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you shall give to the board in this action shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, to help you, God?
I do.
Please state your name, address, and relationship to the case being heard.
Steve Whitten, 504 Maryland Avenue, Cambridge, agent for the applicant. Okay, as you can see up on the aerial map here, Mr. Whittington's property is at the very end of Horn Point Road. This is right where the cul-de-sac is right here. And this area here is completely screened with trees. So as you stand in the cul-de-sac, you really can't see anything except for this barn right here. The applicant, so it's a little hard to see here, but you can see here's a roof, and here's a roof. And it's depicted on my site plan. And you see the dashed line within the interior of the proposed building. So that's the footprint of what's there now. And essentially what he wants to do is demo those. It's actually three buildings pieced together and construct one newer building. The applicant's getting closer to retirement. He's bought several old wooden boats, and he would like to be able to keep them inside to restore them. The Planning Commission gave it a favorable recommendation, and with that, I'll take any questions you might have.
There are trees right there. Are they going to have to come down for this construction?
No. So the are you talking about this one here?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. No, that would just be, I think what you're seeing there is the canopy of the tree that's actually over here, but the building's more right in there. So it would just, yeah, so that's right there. It would, so there's the tree,
right.
But that's a shadow from that tree.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Steve, approximately how far from the existing dwelling will the proposed building be?
From the existing dwelling?
Yeah, just approximately.
Looks to me like it would be about 150 feet, something like that.
When he's done, will he just have one building there? There's three now, right?
There's three now. This is a really like a small barn. I believe that's where he has a decoy and a fishing rod collection. This is a cottage that his wife has, and this here would be the building for his boats.
And there'll be three structures.
Yes, and that's been accounted for in the application. The overage I'm asking for is the new space here above what's already there. He's fine on the lot coverage as far as the critical areas, because the lot is 5.5 acres.
Steve, if we were to grant a special exception, would there have to be some language saying that either the existing buildings would have to be torn down now or shortly thereafter the new one? Susan, can you answer that?
What is the plan, Steve?
The plan would be to footprint over top. So this would be demolished, this would be demolished, and this would be demolished. So it's fine if we put on record that, you know, the overage is for a new building to encompass the old three.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That line.
Because it's including that square footage. So, but it
exactly.
Would. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll take any questions. Okay.
Is there anybody else that has testimony in this case? Okay. Come here, sir. Please raise your right hand. Do you swear to or affirm that the evidence you shall give to the board in this action shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do so swear.
Please state your name, address, and relationship to the case being heard.
My name is Frederick A. T.C. Last name is T as in Tom, E.C.C.E. I'm the homeowner of 5944 Orange Point Road, lot 42, I think, across the next door, contiguous to the applicant. And I come here in support of his application.
In support?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else that would like to testify in this case for or against? Any questions from the board?
Okay.
It's your turn.
Okay, you want to close the hearing and
well, at this time, we'll close all the hearing while the board considers this case.
So in order to grant the special exception request, the board must first find that the proposed use or structure will be consistent with the county's comprehensive plan.
Well, then the special exception is granted.
Next, the board must find that the proposed use of structure will be in harmony with the general character of the neighborhood, considering population density, design, scale, and bulk of any proposed new structures, intensity and character of activity, traffic, parking conditions, and number of similar uses.
Will.
Next, the board must find that the proposed use or structure will not be detrimental to use, peaceful enjoyment, economic value, or development of surrounding properties or the surrounding neighborhood. Next, the board must find that the proposed use or structure will not cause objectionable noise, vibration, fumes, odor, dust, glare, or physical activity. Next, the board must find that the proposed use or structure will not have a detrimental effect on vehicular or pedestrian traffic. Next, the board must find that the proposed use or structure will not adversely affect the health, safety, security, or general welfare of residents, workers, or visitors in the area. Next, the board must find that the proposed use or structure will not overburden existing public services and facilities, including schools, police and fire protection, medical facilities, water, sanitary sewer, public roads, storm sewers, drainage, and other public improvements. Lastly, the board must find that the proposed use or structure meets the definition and specific standards set forth in the zoning ordinance for such use.
Yes.
Yes. The board has found that the applicant has met all of the criteria for a special exception requested.
Do I hear a motion regarding this case?
I make a motion.
To accept.
To accept.
All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Special exception granted.
Thank you.
Case number 2759, Two Sons, CP, requesting a special exception at 3642 Warwick Road, East New Market, Maryland.
This is Board of Appeal case number 2759. The owner is Two Sons, CP, LLC, seeking a special exception for the property located at 3642 Warwick Road, East New Market. Seeking a special exception to allow construction of accessory structure greater than the footprint of the principal residence or as allowed by code. The requested overage is 1,055 square feet, and the property is located in the Agriculture Conservation RCA district.
Steve, you've already been sworn in, so I would suppose that would be adequate.
Thank you.
Bear with us, Steve.
Okay.
Looks like we don't have an internet connection. I think that's what's kicked us off. Back on.
All right.
Sorry about that.
No problem. Okay, so if you could zoom back just a little bit, Joe. Yes. So these properties are visible as you cross the bridge into Secretary. the properties I'm speaking of are these three right here. These are very large lots. This is the subject lot right here in the middle. The applicant proposes to remove these three accessory buildings right here, place a new larger building right out here. The lot is almost 10 acres. The house itself is quite large as well. The house is, the footprint of the house, this is just the footprint, is just shy of 3,400 square feet. Thus, the average that we're asking for of 1055. This also got a favorable recommendation from the Planning Commission. These lots can't be further subdivided. And then across the street here is all agricultural land, also agricultural land here.
Steve, does the applicant own more than the one plat?
Yes, sir.
Which ones?
I'm not 100% sure of the legal. It's an LLC. But I know at least one of them owns this right here.
Okay. Okay. All right. Any questions from the board?
I drove past the property today and the trees that are depicted here are no longer there.
Where is that?
Immediately below where the property address is.
Here?
No, the number of those
trees. Oh, the parcel number?
Mm-hmm.
Those aren't there?
No.
Hmm. I don't know. What year is this photo?
This is 2022.
Okay. All I can say is, planning, is there anything to make note of that?
What, are they just a pond?
They're not in the buffer. This is a large non-tidal pond right here. I think... Ms. Eckert's talking about that small group of trees right there.
Oh, it's trees?
That's trees right
okay.
there, yeah.
Can you pull the buffer up, Jared, please?
Right, so we're well clear of the buffer. There's no expanded buffer. The pool, the pool is actually right on the edge of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I can see now those trees, yeah.
Okay.
Mm, they're pretty much all gone.
Okay.
What is the use of the new structure?
RV and boat storage and a tractor. This is all mowed lawn, so.
If those trees are not in a forest conservation district or not within the buffer of any kind, they would be okay to remove those.
I was glad to see the buffer come up
yeah.
and identify that, right. But this is not a combined commercial use, this building.
In no way,
private.
No.
Okay.
This is more of something to enhance the property. And like I say, these three buildings here, 1, 2, 3, will go away. We can also put that in the record if you like.
Okay. Any other questions? Is there any other testimony? Steve, are you finished?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you're done. Is there any other testimony regarding this case, either for or against? Closing of testimony. Take a short period of deliberation.
So first, the board must find that the proposed use or structure will be consistent with the county's comprehensive plan.
Yeah.
Well. Next, the board must find that the proposed use will be or structure will be in harmony with the general character of the neighborhood. Considering population density, design, scale, and bulk of any proposed new structures, intensity and character of activity, traffic and parking conditions, and number of similar uses.
Well,
next, the board must find that the proposed use or structure will not be detrimental to use, peaceful enjoyment, economic value, or development of surrounding properties or the surrounding neighborhood.
Will not.
Next, the board must find that the proposed use or structure will not cause objectionable noise, vibration, fumes, odor, dust, glare, or physical activity.
Will not.
unanimous find that the proposed use of structure will not have detrimental effect on vehicular or pedestrian traffic. Next, board must find that the proposed use of structure will not adversely affect the health, safety, security, or general welfare of residents, workers, or visitors in the area.
Will not.
Next, the board must find that the proposed use of structure will not overburden existing public services and facilities, including schools, police and fire protection, medical facilities, water, sanitary sewer, public roads, storm sewers, drainage, and other public improvements.
Will not.
Lastly, the board must find that the proposed use or structure meets the definition and specific standards set forth in the zoning ordinance for such use.
Does.
Does. The
board has found the applicant has met all the criteria for a special exception.
Do I hear a motion?
Make a motion exception. Grant a special exception.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Uh-huh. Opposed? You have your special exception.
Thank you very much.
The next case is the one I think that we're going to have to reschedule because I don't see her here.
Susan, she asked me if I would step in.
Okay.
So I would like to know, is anybody here opposed to it? Before I did so, I wouldn't want to put anything on the record. That
I don't think that there is any opposition to it.
Okay. Then I would do it if you don't mind.
You can hit, okay.
Okay. Case number 2760, Austin, asking for a variance at 6806 North Terra Road, Federalburg, Maryland.
This is Board of Appeal case number 2760. Applicant is Austin, seeking a variance, 6806 North Terra Road, Federalburg, Maryland. And the request is to authorize a variance to allow construction within the 40-foot back, 40-foot setback for the side and the front yard. Is that correct, Steve?
Right, both bounded by private roads on both those sides.
Yeah, she wants to go to change the setback to a 20-foot setback rather than 40.
Well, real quick, this, it says Federalburg, but this, I guess, assuming it's Dorchester County, right?
Yes, sir. If you zoom way back, Joe, this is on North Terra Road. You know where that is? After you're going out of Pearl Lock, off to the left there, it connects up to the Reliance Fredlesburg Road. So I didn't even know this even existed until this client came along. But there's North Terra Road there. So if you keep zooming back, please. Keep on. All right. So still, you can see that the Harrison Ferry Road is still down here somewhere, and then the Reliance Road is out here. So this is really, really an extremely remote location. These are four pre-critical area lots. They're even pre-zoning ordinance lots. That's why they're smaller than 40,000 square feet, which the zoning would be. Critical area would be, you couldn't even do a critical area lot there now. But so if you could then zoom back into the site. So the tax map doesn't really show this completely proper, but this is depicted. So this is a private right-of-way that, if you could zoom back a little bit, please, connects to North Terra Road right there, okay, down to here. And this is an old landing here. It's called a rotten landing. You can still see the old bulkhead and whatnot there. So that's what's causing the 40-foot setback on that side. Actually, I want to enter these into evidence as an exhibit. It's kind of a blown up copy of the survey we did for the property. And give you a better understanding of what's going on here.
Does the quarry come to own the property between that and the quarry, the big area there?
No, that's actually one residence on that property. I think it's mostly used as a hunting property, but there is a residence there.
There's an extremely wooded area, if I remember correctly.
Extremely, yeah. In fact, when the Mr. Spicer, this property right here, so Zoom back, please, some Joe. All this was Chesapeake Corporation of Virginia.
Yeah.
And it's now part of the Chesapeake Forest Lands.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing's ever happening right there. So then if you take a look at my site plan, I show the... So the hatched areas are the roads that are there now. The dashed lines are the right-of-ways. And so what, you know, the code requires a front yard setback off of a local road, just the same as if it was a public county road. So what she's asking for, the applicant is requesting, is some relief from the 40-foot front yard setback to give her some more room for positioning of her accessory or her primary dwelling. And then for this right here, so if you could zoom in just a little, please, a little bit, Joe. Right, so there's also a private right-of-way right here that's not depicted on the tax maps because it's an easement. This serves this lot, that lot, and that lot. Okay, and what she's asking for there is some relief from the front yard setback to allow an accessory structure.
Is her dwelling the only dwelling there as it looks?
Currently, there's no dwelling there. I believe that's just like a construction trailer or something.
Okay.
This is very high ground, by the way. It's like extremely sandy. There's even like cactuses growing, like little ground cover cactuses. It looks like somebody has built a pier on this lot here. But you can see from the odd shape of her lot, plus the 100-foot buffer, plus the setbacks, plus area for septic system, it leaves a building envelope of just over 9,900 square feet, and some of that would have to include her septic system. So it does put a pinch on her. And I think I've demonstrated that a relief into the setbacks would barely be noticeable, particularly even on the front yard setback. You can see where the road actually is in relationship to the property line. If you look at my site plan, so the road actually comes in like right here. And I mean, there's all of that between that actual driving surface and the property line, and then the accessory building would be in this area somewhere.
So she's really being forced to put it in that location because of the buffer and being close to the water, so she can't build out, so she's got to.
So when the lots were created,
mm-hmm.
they're wearing those zoning laws.
Yeah.
The good old days.
Oh. Well, simpler.
Yeah, simpler.
Is there any other agency making comments on this?
Nobody.
Yep. And I believe Planning Commission gave it a favorable
mm-hmm.
recommendation as well.
Yes.
Okay.
So you basically want a 20-foot setback all the way around that?
Yes, sir.
Instead of 40.
Is there any other testimony, either for or against, in this case?
I can say that I spoke to a few of the neighbors, and they were not in opposition.
Not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And any more questions from the board?
Mm-hmm.
No? Okay. That'll conclude the taking of evidence. We'll take a short period for deliberation.
In order to grant a variance, the board must first find that the variance would not be contrary to the public interest. Next, the board must find that there are special conditions and circumstances existing which are peculiar to the land, structure, or building involved. Be sure to specify what those are.
And because these lots were grandfathered in many, many years ago, it's not applicable to this day and time.
They do because she really couldn't put it anywhere else because of the 100-foot setback in the water and the two 40-foot setbacks on the road.
Next, the board must find that a literal interpretation of the provisions of the zoning ordinance would deprive the applicant of rights commonly enjoyed by other properties in the same district under the terms of the zoning ordinance.
Wood.
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 Yeah, so.
Wouldn't be able to, with the septic area and the setbacks involved, they really wouldn't be able to build, so. It would deprive them of building.
And again, because it was grandfathered in so many years ago, before all the regulations were in place.
Next, the board must find that the special conditions or circumstances did not result from the actions of the applicant.
Did not.
Did not.
Did not.
Next, the board must find the granting variance requested would not confer upon the applicant any special privilege that is denied by the county zoning ordinance to other lands, structures, or buildings in the same zoning district.
Will not.
Will not.
Board has found the applicant has satisfied the criteria for a variance.
Do I hear a motion regarding this case?
I make a motion to approve.
To approve?
A second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Your variance is granted.
Thank you very much.
Case number 2761, Puppet, asking for a variance at 6317 Snow Harbor Road, East New Market, Maryland.
This is Board of Appeal case number 2761. The applicant is Puppet, seeking a variance for 6317 Snow Harbor Road, East New Market, Maryland, and seeking a variance to allow construction of a replacement deck within the 20-foot building setback. The request is to change that to a 13-foot setback. So they're only asking to encroach 7 feet. And the property is located within the rural residential zoning district.
Okay. Please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you shall give to the board in this action shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Please state your name, address, and relationship to the case.
My name is Michael Puffett. Address is 6317 Snug Harbor Road, East New Market, Maryland, and I am the resident, primary resident of this home, and so I'm an applicant.
Okay. Would you point out your evidence?
So, this is the property right here, and right here, that's our next door neighbors here. This right here is an existing failing deck. We knew that when we bought the house a couple years ago. And
what is a what?
It's a deck.
Failing deck.
It's a failing. So it's a failing deck.
Okay.
To I guess elaborate on that, my wife has fallen through it two times so far because the wood is rotting. So that's what I mean by a failing deck. We knew that when we bought the home a couple of years ago. The deck is actually on the main floor, and we were buying this home as a retirement home and kind of live in place since it's all one level floor. And so we knew we wanted to replace that deck right there. So there's an egress from the kitchen onto that failing deck, and there's an egress from the master bedroom onto that failing deck, and we would like to replace that deck and go an additional 2 feet. Towards the property line, so this is north, going in that direction up here, so going in that direction. We're asking for relief for an additional 2 feet, basically because the width of it currently today is 10 feet, which is not really much width to be able to furnish it with a table and chairs and be able to walk around it, navigate it, and so we're asking for an additional 2 feet. We have spoken with our neighbors, not only the ones right next door, but across the way too, because this is on a cove there on Snug Harbor off of Cabin Creek, and so you know there's might be a slight obstruction there, and we've gotten signatures from them, and there was no opposition, and they were favorable, but mostly it's our next door neighbor here is who we spoke with, and we have artifact I think that we've submitted with their signature on it. We have an artifact with this neighbor's signature on it, since they could actually see what we're talking about building here, and then this neighbor right here too, so we have their signature as well.
No substitute for good neighbors.
Amen.
Okay. Does the board have any questions for the applicant?
I do have.
Okay, do you have anything additional to add?
Anything?
I don't think so.
We're just looking forward to getting that replaced after buying the house almost 2 years ago and not having a failing deck.
Is there about anybody in the audience that would like to speak for or against this request? Hearing none, we'll close the testimony and take a short period of deliberation.
First, the board must find that the variance requested will not be contrary to the public interest.
Will not.
Next, the board must find that special conditions and circumstances exist which are peculiar to the land structure and building involved, being sure to specify what those are.
They do
because of the lack of room. And being so close to the buffer.
Next, the board must find that a literal interpretation of the provisions of the zoning ordinance would deprive the applicants of rights commonly enjoyed by other properties in the same district under the terms of the zoning ordinance.
Would.
How so? Yes.
Similar requests have been made in the past and been granted.
Next, the board must find that special conditions or circumstances did not result from the applicant's actions.
It did not.
The applicant did not build the existing deck.
Lastly, the board must find that granting the variance requested will not confer upon the applicant any special privilege that is denied by the zoning ordinance to other land, structures, or buildings in the same district.
Will not.
Okay. Finally satisfied all the criteria.
Okay, do I hear a motion regarding this case?
I'm making a motion.
Yes.
Your chat?
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Opposed? You have your variance.
Thank you.
Okay. Case number 2762, Ashton requesting a special exception at 5534 Mount Holly Road, Cambridge, Maryland.
This is Board of Appeal case number 2762. The applicant's name is Ashton, seeking a special exception at 5534 Mount Holly Road, East Newmarket. The special exception would allow the use of an accessory structure for a home occupation for a beauty parlor. The applicant seeks to employ two non-resident employees and provide three parking spaces, and the proposed hours of operation are Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., and the property is located within the Rural Residential Zoning District.
Okay. Please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you shall give to the board in this action shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Please state your name, address, and relationship to the case being heard.
My name is Katie Ashton. I live at 5534 Mount Holly Road, and I am the primary resident of the home.
And good evening. I represent the Ashtons. My name is Mike Dodd. Mr. Jeremy Ashton is co-owner of the property. He's Ms. Ashton's husband. But Ms. Ashton, as the primary applicant, is here in the front row so that she can answer any questions. I'm going to elicit some testimony from her, if that's
okay with the board. I know it's a little bit awkward to do it here at the podium, but is that how you would prefer that I do that, or as opposed to sitting here with her? Is that
no, you're fine. You'll have the pointer, and you can.
Yeah. Okay. So I mean,
where we are and what we're doing.
The first point I want to make before I even get to the screen is we're asking for a special exception for a use. We're not asking to build an accessory structure by special exception. The accessory structure that's part of this case, the pole building, is permitted by right. So the Ashtons could go get a permit today for the accessory structure and build it as long as it's not in the front yard, which is defined as 100 feet from the front property line, back 100 feet, and then there's a 6-foot setback on each side property line for an accessory structure, which is what this is. And the other limitation is that it can't be larger than the primary structure. There's that meaning the total of accessory structure square footage can't be larger than the primary residence square footage. The primary residence is 2,808 square feet. A 30 by 60 pole barn, I'm a lawyer, but I'm okay at math, is 1,800 square feet. So we're under by about 300 square feet. There's a tiny little shed on the property. It's not 300 square feet. So we're not bumping up against the 2,108 square feet, which is the primary structure square footage. And so the Ashtons could go today and get a permit from planning and zoning without asking for a special exception to build this on the property, so long as it's not in the front yard. Now, the front yard has nothing to do with being in front of the residence. It has everything to do with how far from the front and side setbacks the property or the building is. And so I believe that there is some opposition to this. And a lot of it relates to the building itself, the physical building itself. That's irrelevant to tonight's proceeding because, as I indicated, we don't need a special exception to build this building. We just need a special exception for Ms. Ashton to use the building in part as a beauty parlor. She'll tell you that she's not going to use the whole 1,800 square feet for a beauty parlor. I think should be 50-50, but I think her husband's given is getting 2/3 and she's getting 1/3. So about 1/3 of the space will be used for the beauty parlor. The other 2/3, some variation of a man cave / storage / somewhere to hide when there's an argument. But nonetheless, you've got a situation here where I don't want to get confused with asking for the right to build the building and using the building for a certain purpose. And so the special exception that we're asking for tonight is so that she can operate this beauty parlor out of the building that she's allowed to build by right. And I want to elicit a little bit of testimony from you, Katie, about your business. I know I put some in the application, but I want to get a little bit more information on the record so that the board is clear on what she's going to do, what she's not planning to do with this particular site. Now, everybody else used it, so I'm going to use it. The applicant's property is 5534 right here. And importantly, 5538 northeast of the applicant's property, 5538, has a very large accessory structure right here. I used the measurement tool. Don't know if anybody can do that this evening, but if you use the measuring tool, it's about 30 by 90. So it's much larger. And we also have a neighbor here this evening that owns that property. And that property not only has an accessory structure, which is much larger than ours is going to be, but that neighbor operated for some period of time a home occupation, which is the exact thing that we're asking for permission to do. It was a leather shop at one point. It was owned by a previous owner who conducted business after receiving permission from the county, just like we're asking for. And he continued to do so until a few years ago when he retired. So when we talk about the character of the neighborhood and we talk about sort of the surrounding area, we need to remember that directly adjacent, there's a much larger accessory structure, which, again, we're not asking for permission to build because we don't need to ask for permission to build that. But there was a home occupation right next door as well. So I think that's clearly...
Could you point out, while you've got the pointer up there, point out the house, the primary structure?
Yes.
Point that out. Okay. Now, point out where this new proposed building will go.
So on one of the exhibits that we submitted, it should be in your packet.
I'm looking at it.
The building is somewhat over here. Now, that's not an exact scale because that was drawn by the applicant.
And that is the driveway right next to that.
Yes. So we would certainly stipulate.
Okay,
that
that's a lot better.
We would stipulate that it's not going to be built in the setback. So it's not going to be built illegally, meaning 6 feet, less than 6 feet from this line. And it's not going to be built less than 100 feet from this line. That's what's defined as the front yard. And so when you look at 155, section 155-50A1, that's where it talks about not being able to build an accessory structure in the front yard. Well, the front yard, again, has nothing to do with being in front of the residence. You could build this house all the way back to the back of this parcel. That doesn't make the whole property a front yard. A front yard is defined as 100 feet back and 6 feet from the side here. And on that plat that you have, I think there's a distance of 212 feet from this line to the front corner of the house. So there's plenty of room here. I know that there's a neighbor here in opposition that lives here that doesn't like where the building's going to be, but quite frankly, you don't own the view. And so just like when I bought my house and someone built a house in between my house and the water, I didn't like that, but I didn't own that view. So unfortunately, for the neighbor, the building can go right here by right. It's just a matter of can the building then be used as a beauty parlor? That's what we're asking you for permission for tonight. And so, Ms. Ashton, if you could come up here so I could ask you some questions.
Before we do that, just wait a minute. Can you address this or what your opinion is on this?
Yeah, so the use of it as a home occupation is allowed with a special exception. That is the same as others that we have done before the Board of Appeal, just for someone to either work out of their home or an accessory structure. And so if we take and draw an imaginary line within the property lines, and that would be 100 feet back from the road and then 6 feet in from each side and rear, anywhere within that imaginary box, they can build. So
that's basically what they're asking.
Correct. So Mr. Dodd is correct in saying that where they're planning on placing it, which I think that he's going to go in a little bit of detail about it. I have gone over this with him and also gone over it with our legal counsel, and they are within their building setback. So they're within. So the only thing that should be discussed is the use, and that is allowed with a special exception.
And I thought that was important because obviously, you know, if you look at it, it looks like the whole thing's the front yard until you look at the definition of what front yard and side yard is and realize that, you know, it's not quite that simple. And certainly, as I indicated, I think the board's attorney would agree that without a special exception, the Ashtons could go and get a permit to build the pole building tomorrow as long as it wasn't in the setback and it wasn't larger than the square footage of the primary residence. So theoretically, she could have built the building and then come in here and said, hey, I'd like to have a special exception to have my beauty parlor, but it just didn't shake out that way. So, Ms. Ashton, could you state your name and address for the record?
Katie Ashton, 5534 Mount Holly Road, East Newmarket, Maryland.
Okay. And who do you reside at that address with?
My husband and my two children.
All right. How old are your children?
4 and 1.
All right. And what is your profession?
I'm a hairdresser.
Okay. And I want to ask you, your children are young, and you're asking for the ability to work from home and still maintain your professional career. Why are you doing that?
So at the moment, I work in Easton, Maryland, so it's about a half hour to and from work. And my kids obviously go to daycare during the day, and I work sometimes until 6 o'clock, and it's just hard getting home before bedtime. And my oldest will be going to Warwick Elementary this year, and that way I can put him on and off the bus, and I can be there when he gets home. As a mom, I want to be involved as much as I can, but also I have to work for a living as well.
Okay. So at the moment, the application is for you to, I believe, have no more than two employees, correct?
Correct.
And quite frankly, at least in the beginning, you wouldn't have two employees, is that correct?
No, that's not even, like, it's one of those things I'm just asking just in case in the future, but my ideal, honestly, is just so I can work from home so I can be closer to my children.
Okay. And just tell the board what your hours would be.
So right now I usually work Tuesday through Friday, but obviously working from home, my schedule would be a little bit more flexible. I don't plan to obviously work Monday through Saturday every single week, but there are some days where I would work a Monday or Saturday instead of a different day that week.
Just
in those hours, obviously.
How many customers would you anticipate that you're going to have in a given day?
I would say anywhere between 5 and 6 at the most.
Okay. How many customers would be there at any one time?
One. I'm one person.
Okay. And you heard me say earlier, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the 30 by 60 pole barn isn't going to be entirely used as a beauty parlor, correct?
No. We're thinking like about 20 by 30 for my salon, and the rest obviously is for my husband's storage of whatever he has.
Okay. I want to ask you about your profession. What is a beauty parlor? What do we do? What kind of services do you provide?
I cut hair, I color hair, blow dry hair.
Mm-hmm.
Simple.
Okay. Do you use any power tools when you're doing that?
The loudest thing is probably my blow dryer, and it's a Dyson, so it's pretty quiet.
Okay, but you don't use any heavy-duty machinery?
No.
Okay. Do you cause any crazy vibration or fumes or noise with this activity?
No, I do not.
Okay. So you live on Route 16, that's Mount Holly Road, correct?
Correct.
And is that a fairly busy road?
Very busy.
I know you're not a traffic expert, but how many vehicles would you estimate travel that road each day?
I can not even imagine.
Would that number be in the thousands?
Probably.
Okay.
To and from work and everything in between.
Okay. You have also indicated to me that you wish to have a bathroom in the facility?
Correct.
Okay, so one single bathroom?
Correct.
With one single toilet, I assume?
Correct.
Okay. Now, would you be washing hair as part of this service?
Yes.
Okay, how many sinks do you intend to have?
One. So a bathroom sink, then obviously I should go ahead and sink.
Okay, so you're going to have a total as far as services are required, public services are required, one toilet and two sinks.
Correct.
Those are the services we're going to require, right?
Correct.
Well, that's all I have. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Certainly, if the board has any questions of Ms. Ashton, she's going to stay right here for you.
Any questions from the board?
If you're planning on having bathrooms and sinks, I guess I would assume we've got the septic approved for that? Or?
Yeah, so this was floated, no pun intended, to the health department. And there was no negative agency comment from them. So we haven't heard anything that would stand in our way as far as the health department's concerned with that.
It's not adding living areas, so they are more concerned with a bedroom, with the expanding occupancy of a house. So this wouldn't affect that.
Any further testimony?
No, I just want to obviously incorporate my written application. I believe there's going to be some opposition, so I'll just I'll reserve my final argument for when we're included with that.
I have one question.
Yes, sir.
I do have one question. If it's 6 feet that way and
yeah.
100 feet that way, is there some reason why you wouldn't put it on the other side of the property instead of up against the driveway?
This side right here.
On the
pointer.
Far right instead of the left?
This is the sewage reserve area, I believe.
Yes.
So this right here, and it's depicted on the application. Mr. Ashton depicted on his site plan, there's a sort of a crosshatch marking on your document which represents that essentially this entire area here is the sewage reserve area, I believe. So that's part of the issue.
Okay. confused. If the whole area is a sewage reserve, how are you building that?
This, I guess I'm doing my best to draw a square here.
Okay.
It's depicted on your exhibit.
Uh-huh.
This here is the sewage reserve area.
Right.
And this over here is where we're proposing to put the building.
I see.
The driveway leads right to where the building will be.
Okay. And you can, it's 6 feet from that property line that you can build there?
Yes, ma'am. It's 6 feet from each side and 100 feet from the front.
Okay.
And the accessory use statute says that you can't build in the front yard being 100 feet from here back and 6 feet from each side. And we're not within that area.
Okay.
And we're, you know, it appears to me we're putting a building and there'll be less environmental impact because the driveway is already in place.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
I have one question. My name is Mike Spangler. I live at 5530 Holly Road.
If you're going to speak on this, please come forward.
On this.
Right here. Please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you shall give to the board in this action shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, to help you God?
I do.
Please state your name, address, and relationship to the case being heard.
My name is Mike Spangler. My address is 5530 Mount Holly Road, which is this property right here.
There's a pointer right there if you want to use it. Right there on the table.
I got bad eyes. And I think my question was, I do have a statement, but my question was, why would you not want to put the salon and the storage area, you know, either on the side of your property or on in back of the house, where it wouldn't have so much effect on its neighbors?
Because behind, we have a fenced in backyard where our children would be. And I'm trying to keep my business somewhat separate from our living area.
Well, yeah, you have, I mean, you do have a large area right here, which if you put a 30 by 60 whole building here, it would pretty much block off that part.
I can't see what you're pointing at.
I mean, it's, this whole portion.
There's trees all on that side.
There's trees right here. There, this whole portion from the front to the back of the fence is all clear. And this portion from here back here is all clear. So on either side of what I would call the front plane of the house is clear of any obstructions. And in that case, there wouldn't be any issue with, you know, having a 30 by 60 pole barn, which has numerous deleterious effects on our property. So, but that was just my question to you as they happen.
The answer is that we can build it wherever we want in that area.
Mr. Spangler,
we're not hearing this
to decide whether she can move it or not.
No, I'm just asking her. I understand.
I
understand.
It's been proven she can put it where she wants it there. That's not the case.
May I continue with, while I'm here?
Yeah, sure.
Certainly.
Yeah.
My intent today was to try to present some additional data and observational evidence related to the application. Specifically addressing the questions that the appeals board asked us to.
As long as you keep them to the business that she's asking to have in this building, the fact that she can build the building there is not in question.
We've read your letter of opposition.
Can I make
nothing
one, can
there
I make
anything
one
to do with
sure.
Her.
Well, you can make any
point. Okay,
I just want to make
I
keep to that.
I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying and I recognize it. I've been a as the chief engineer, I spent the majority of my time interpreting codes, visiting codes and regulations, and then performing calculations to make sure that and designing products that met those codes and regulations. And I understand what council says the code says, but there are other criteria that you've laid out that also address some of the items that I wanted to talk about. And I will say, from my experience, if there's ever any question or discussion or lack of clarity in a code, the most important thing that is looked at is how that code has historically been put in practice in that particular area. And my argument is that, and I'll just go into my discussion here. The criteria number one, in harmony with the general character of the neighborhood. In this regard, I surveyed 47 continuous residential properties on either side of Mount Holly Road for a distance of approximately 2 miles, centered on the applicant's property. And in that survey, none of the properties had an accessory structure in what I would call the front yard, which would be the front plane of their house. As an engineer, that's the way to interpret it.
Well, it doesn't meet.
I understand.
I'm trying to keep it to the
use. I understand. But again, none of the properties had an accessory structure in the front yard of their house. One property built in 1988. Had a small tool shed in the front yard, what I would call the front yard, in a garden area that was about 166 feet from the nearest neighbor. So again, that just is consistent with my thinking as an engineer who's done extensive code reading and interpretation, that based on how it has been practiced in the community.
How many of these houses had accessory structures of the 47?
I didn't count that. I just counted the number. Okay. I did count it. I think there was like 30-something, 38.
38 accessory structures.
38 accessory structures that were...
So that would make it in harmony with the neighborhood.
No, it does not, because it's not in the front. It's not in front of the house. My argument is that out of 47 continuous residential properties that I
understand, serve. But you need to understand that the lawyer explained what met the front yard criteria.
I'm not disputing that. I'm just saying that it is also important how that code has been practiced in the local community. And what I'm saying that there's clear evidence that code has not been practiced in that manner. It has been practiced in the manner such that the accessory structures are behind the front plane of the house.
Well, Mr. Spangler, if any of these other lots that you have looked at have the same amount of square footage so that they can be and would ask for a structure in the what you're calling the front yard, we're not, because she's back from the 100 foot, they could all build a structure.
Well, from what you're saying, it is true, and I'm not disagreeing with it. My point is that's not how it has been practiced in the local community.
If I can make one point real quick, if you look at 5538, if you draw an imaginary line from the front of that house, that would come about right through the middle of that pool.
And that's not considered an accessory structure?
No, but it would be, we look at that through zoning for placement. So again, that is...
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't meet the definition of an accessory structure.
Mm.
That is a pool. And the accessory structure is entirely behind the front plane of that residence house.
It doesn't matter.
It matters in terms of how that code has been put in practice.
You can't
by
change the code.
Anybody else has the same right that this lady has?
Okay.
I think what we have here is a lack of, we're not agreeing on this. I'm not agreeing with you.
Okay. That's fair.
I'm not speaking for the board.
Everyone's entitled to their opinion. That's true. I have no problem with that.
Anything else?
Okay, yes, I'd like to just complete mine. The criteria number two will have no detrimental effect on vehicular or pedestrian traffic, will not adversely affect the health, safety, or general welfare of the residents or visitors to the area. And I'm going by what is written and what can be, not in particular what the applicant said, because what she says she's going to do five clients a day today, you know, that could be 15 clients a day a year from now. So that's I'm just letting you know that's my perspective. Because, I mean, none of that's going to be legally binding, to my knowledge.
So that's 15 cars out of thousands a day. I wouldn't consider that detrimental.
Well, and this is where
I wouldn't consider that detrimental.
The calculated yearly additional applicant driveway entrance and exits based on the parameters of salon operation that I saw in the appeal document would result in 4,000 clients per year and 8,000 would mean 8,000 entrances and exits to that driveway per year. That's based on what was written in the appeal application. And in terms of what would be possible was with one to two employees, nine days a week, 6 days a week, 9 hours a day, which was in what I saw in the application.
Well, I think if I understood it right, she's not asking for any employees. She doesn't anticipate any employees.
No, I thought,
am I right about
the application I saw said she's asking for up to two employees.
She's asking for permission to have two employees just so that if she decides that she wants to, say, have a family member, I think she has a family member who also cuts hair, her sister-in-law, come work for her, that we want to come back here again. Okay. That's not the intention from the beginning.
Thank you for clarifying.
But even if it is two employees plus her, that's three people. I'm not going to do the math.
Okay.
I'm not an engineer. I'm just a lawyer.
We got it. Okay.
You said 5,000. If she said she's going to work 4 or 5 days a week.
I'm
with
going
five people. That's 1,000.
Yeah,
thousand.
Yes.
That's 1,000, not 5,000.
I'm going by what was written on her application. Not by what she said.
Okay.
What was written on her application was 9 hours a day, 6 days a week.
She's going to be open, potentially open. She's
correct. Not always having clients.
Continue.
And I got to look at what is possible based on what was written, not what I think.
We understand.
Mount Holly Road sector from its intersection with Route 50 east, Newmarket. Route 50 to east Newmarket is by a wide margin the heaviest traveled full highway speed two-lane road in Dorchester County. Route 50 east of Mount Holly handles 23,441 vehicles per day. And that's a
23,000?
Route 50, you said, right?
23,441 vehicles per day.
What cross street are you near?
Pardon me?
What road are you cross street?
I'm looking at Route 50.
I'm asking her residence. I'm just trying to figure out the cross streets. In other words, she's between what
she's
road?
She's between Route 50, between
Cedar
Grove Road and
Averly
Road.
Yeah, Averly's up that way.
Okay.
So it's sort of in the middle.
Yep.
The Mount Holly Road, Maryland Department of Transportation sector from Route 50 to East Newmarket handles 11,275 vehicles per day.
Okay.
11,000 per day. Now, if I look at the peak period hourly Mount Holly traffic, which is generally from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., you're looking at 624 vehicles per hour, or 10.4 vehicles per minute. The Mount Holly Road daily truck volume, not including pickups, if we're talking box trucks, tractor trailers, tanker trucks, whatever, is 654 trucks per day. In addition, over the past 10 years, that sector of Mount Holly Road has experienced an increase in traffic from 2013 to 2022 of 11%. And that is a 7% higher than any other road segment that I looked at in this survey in Dorchester County.
I don't think any of us sitting here disagree with your figures. We have no way to disagree with them.
They're on them.
What has that got to do with this case?
On the five,
it has
on
to,
five
it,
cars
it's
at 11,000.
It's getting to the first, criteria was we'll have no detrimental effect on vehicular or pedestrian traffic that will not adversely affect the health, safety, or general welfare of residents.
And
so
five more on 11,000 is going to make a difference?
That can be detrimental.
Pardon me?
Five more vehicles out of 11,000 daily is going to be detrimental?
Well, that's again where we're getting between talking about what was said and what was stated in writing on the application.
We'll stipulate for sake of argument there's three employees. She's cutting hair like Edward Scissorhands. Customer every 10 minutes. That's six customers an hour. Three employees, that's 18 customers an hour. Let's get crazy with it. Still, I'm just saying if you take it to the extreme, the percentage, the impact is still de minimis.
Well, I'm not totally agreeing with that because on a yearly basis, that works out to 8,000 additional entrances and exits to that driveway. If you look at it on a daily basis, yeah, you're right. But if you look at it on a yearly basis, it's significant. 8,000.
Opinion?
Yeah.
Well, it's fact-based opinion, but it's opinion.
It's hypothetical.
The third criteria is that the exceptions would not be detrimental to the peaceful enjoyment of or surrounding for other surrounding properties and will cause no objectionable noise. Again, based on what I had just said about potential traffic flow through the driveway, you know, there'll be a car coming up or going out of the driveway every 22 minutes. And again, by what they said, 9 hours a day, 6 days a week. 6 days a week. The final point I had was it was criteria I just said it's four, which will not be detrimental to the economic value of surrounding properties. The saleability and market value of our property would be significantly impacted by the following factors. The accessory structure's location, size, appearance, and striking incompatibility with the surrounding community. The high occurrence rate of customers traversing the applicant's driveway and its resultant noise. The degraded sense of security by potential buyers, realizing that there will be a constant flow of unknown general public visitors just feet from the property and residents. And according to numerous public sources, the top factors that have a negative effect on home saleability and market value included, and these are not my words, poor curb appeal, poor aesthetics, view from and to the property, visual issues from adjacent properties, noisy neighbors, noise pollution, lack of privacy around the property. So, I mean, my argument there is that if this were to be put in place where their box show that was going to be put in place and where I saw the Ashtons actually stake out the location of the building, it's right here.
you're saying it's on the opposite side of the driveway from what they're saying.
This is where the plot shows it. And this is where I visually saw the stakeout that was put there by the applicant. It's right here.
Well, that's not what they said, but even if they did, you're right. As long as they're 100 feet back and 6 feet in, they're still good to go.
That's set to reserve area.
From a legal
standpoint?
Correct.
Yeah. I capitulate on that. I'm still making the arguments based on your criteria for accepting, for approving exceptions. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Thank you.
I have a question.
Sure. Do you have any further testimony?
I probably have done enough damage.
I agree. I just have one question. You're not a certified real estate appraiser, correct?
No, I said I'm a registered professional engineer.
All right.
Yeah.
So you don't have any training, knowledge, experience as far as your testimony about the diminution of value if this building were to be built. That's just that's your lay opinion, correct?
No, not entirely.
Are you an expert?
I'm not.
So that's your lay opinion?
Well, I guess it's
one or the other, right?
Okay.
It's
what I've read.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Spangler. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think it's your turn.
I just would like to, for the record,
go ahead.
Put the criteria that you have to consider into evidence as far as the way I see it. So looking at the first criteria that Mr. Thomas is going to ask you to consider, will be consistent with the comprehensive plan. The comprehensive plan doesn't specifically deal with home occupations, but because the plan has to be consistent with the zoning code and the zoning code permits home occupations, the inference is that it's consistent with the comprehensive plan. Second item for special exception criteria is will be in harmony with the general character of the neighborhood considering population density, design scale, and blocking proposed new structures, intensity, and character of the activity. Again, we're only talking about the use, not the structure itself, but just for the sake of going down that road, you've got the character of the neighborhood being the adjacent property owner having an accessory structure that's about 50% larger and also operated for a period of time a home occupation from that.
Mr. Dodd,
yes.
I think we understand all those questions.
Okay. All right.
Not to cut you off short, but
no,
we've heard this before.
Yes, sir. I'm happy to not waste your time.
Thank you.
If I may, could I just, Mr. Dodd, could you touch specifically on the criteria for home occupations for special exceptions?
Yes.
Those are in addition to the usual special exception criteria?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
So 155.50Q2B deals with home occupations, specifically that they can be located in a dwelling or an accessory building or both. Some of the criteria does overlap with your special exception criteria that you normally deal with, but I'll just go through them. An accessory building used for the home occupation must be compatible in scale, character, and appearance with the residential character of the site and the neighborhood. Just touched on that with the previous point about that accessory structure and the previous use being a home occupation. A home occupation shall not alter the residence appearance and character of the dwelling or the accessory building. So again, we're talking about the use. So the accessory building is going to be the accessory building whether there's a home occupation inside or not. So we're not going to like hang a giant pair of scissors on the outside of the building to advertise that there's a hair salon inside. The occupation shall not create noise, odors, fumes, dust, vibration, or electrical interference. It interferes with neighboring uses. Ms. Ashton testified about sort of the activities she's going to engage in, and as common knowledge, you all know that getting your hair cut doesn't cause anything out of the ordinary as far as noise, odors, fumes, dust, vibration. She's going to be doing this inside the building, obviously. And some of these things sound ridiculous, but I just want to touch on all of them. There shall be no exterior evidence other than a permitted sign to indicate the lot's being used for any purpose other than that of a dwelling.
meaning when we talk about an accessory structure, it's going to look like an accessory pole barn from the outside. Again, not going to do anything crazy that would cause it to appear any different than any other accessory structure in the neighborhood or in any other area of the county. The home occupation shall be conducted by persons residing in the dwelling. In addition, the board may permit up to two non-resident employees to work on the lot in connection with the home occupation. That's why we ask for two, because we can ask for up to two, and small business owners are the lifeblood of the county and every other county, and I want Ms. Ashton to be able to grow her business if she sees fit, obviously not above what she's allowed to do, but I want permission for the two, just in case she seeks to grow her business. Next item, off-street parking areas for employees, customers, or clients shall be screened from public roads and neighboring properties. The parking table for this particular property in this zoning district requires that we provide three parking spaces. That's section 155-58 of zoning ordinance. She's stipulating to complying with the parking requirements that are required by the code. And then finally, parcel posts and similar delivery trucks are permitted. The board may limit the number of daily or weekly deliveries that are permitted, and whether deliveries by a truck with more than two axles are prohibited. I didn't ask for this question, but she's not going to have any heavy-duty trucks coming in and out of there, so we're not asking for anything as far as special permission as far as deliveries. Certainly, I think Katie, you would stipulate that one weekly delivery of supplies is going to be plenty for you. Okay. So those are the supplemental regulations that, when you look at your special exception criteria, the last item that says meets the definitions and specific standards set forth elsewhere in the chapter, that's 155-50Q of the code, where we look at the home occupation standards that I just addressed.
Any more testimony for or against? Sir, come ahead. Come forward.
Against.
Please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you shall give to the board in this action shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Please state your name, address, and relationship to the case being heard.
My name is Robert Jackson. I live at 5537 Mount Holly Road, which is almost directly. It's got to go up. Right here.
Across the road from Mount Holly Road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not directly in front of that.
This is Hurlock. This is Route 16. And some numbers I can give you from, I don't have them written down, but this side of the road is a different developer than this side. This was from Johnson Schufelt's side. All the lots have in the deeds, the covenants of restriction, no home business, no commercial. I don't know what this side's got with Leland Beckwith. I've had a deal with this side of the road twice of a home daycare business and a quick shop. And they had to get that passed there. They had to get everybody in this subdivision signed off for it. Nobody signed off for it. So they, both times they got defeated in there. My question to you about the traffic is, how many people have been killed between Chateau Road and Averly Road? How many?
I'm not obligated to answer any of your questions. Pardon? I'm not going to answer your questions. You can testify if you want.
I know.
I have no idea.
I know there's at least four been killed in that short stretch.
Over
10 years. One at the guardrail before you go into Averly Road. Two almost directly in front of where their house is now. And one almost up the Chateau Road. That's what I know of. Okay. My question is, when you bought this property, did you have the intention then
of having it a special exemption to put a home business there. Nobody seems like they investigate anything.
I really don't see where the intent has anything to do with this. If it's allowed by regulation, by code, then intent really doesn't have, I mean,
well,
they could intend to put a, I don't know, anything on a joining lot somewhere down the road. They may, somebody, as owners change on some of these buildings, then intent changes also.
Then the question is, if this was allowed, and the owners, because I know this property has changed hands 3 or 4 times, and I've appraised that property. I was a licensed real estate appraiser working for Larry Mills. What's to say that when you open the door that you don't allow heavy industrial or something else to be redone in there again?
No,
it's not zoned for it.
No. That won't be allowed.
And it looks like, you know, this has nothing to do with zoning what's allowed or whatever. But as a good neighbor, if you went around to the neighborhood and went to each person and asked, you may not have gotten no opposition, but now...
She did.
You can come to my house. I guarantee you, you didn't.
Sorry.
Okay.
You didn't come there.
Do you have any other testimony, sir?
The traffic count on that road, it's the second busiest in the state of Maryland. The numbers I was given by Maryland State Police a few years ago was 17,000 a day.
I don't think we can dispute that. We have no way of doing so.
What's going to happen in the fall when the traffic increases from farmers' harvest and the combines and everything going up the road? You don't think it's not going to create a traffic congestion there and there will be accidents there?
For 5 or 6 cars a day? I'm surprised you live there. I'm surprised you haven't moved with that much traffic going on. That's dangerous.
I was the first one that moved up there. There wasn't a house on that road or in that area.
Look at it now. Okay, look at Dorchester County now.
And I have nothing to go on but by the...
Well, what, sir? I didn't understand what you said.
No, I don't have any written proof, but the word is on the street. She's not going to put one chair in there. It's going to be at least 3.
Well, we're really not dealing with word on the street here.
Okay. We also paid more for the lots on this side, on that side of the road, because of no home business or no commercial business. So did planning and zoning make a mistake on one side of the road and not on the other?
I can't answer that.
Planning and zoning does not dictate
property.
Planning and zoning does not dictate property values.
No, but I've appraised real estate. And that hasn't got anything to do with how it was zoned. You can allow a special exception on that side of the road, but you can't get one on this side. It's written, or doesn't the deeds, the covenants and restrictions mean anything?
Not to the county, no. It's only to the personal property owners. So as far as we're concerned, the zoning code would allow anybody in that zoning district to have a home occupation. And beauty parlor is actually listed as one of the approved uses for a home occupation.
I have nothing else then.
That's all. Thank you.
Sir. I'm not, I promise you, I'm not going to make any more arguments. I'm done with that. I just wanted to apologize to the board and to the applicant
for getting a little bit emotional about or about the fervor in which I approached my arguments. The only reason for that is that my wife is 84 years old. She's in failing health, and we were looking at selling that property probably within the next 3 to 5 years, and it's just really bad timing for us. But I didn't want to apologize to you if I came over too strong or inappropriately, and to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Any more testimony for or against? Okay. Any further questions from the board?
I heard you say something about, you mentioned there'll be no big scissors. I didn't hear anything about a sign or lighting.
That's a separate permit.
Just they can have one sign.
Okay. All right.
I was just addressing the criteria, the one of the special regulations that deals with that we're not going to change the character of the outside of the building different than a regular pole building would appear. So it won't look like a beauty parlor from the outside. Okay. You won't know what's going on in there.
Okay.
Anything else?
Your turn.
Okay. Close public hearing.
Yeah, that'll be the end of the criteria for this case.
But first, the board must find, in this case, that the proposed use will be consistent with the county's comprehensive plan.
Well.
Statewide, why you made that finding?
We've had numerous cases similar to this, asking for this type of thing, it would have been granted.
There's home occupations throughout the county.
Next, the board must find that the proposed use will be in harmony with the general character of the neighborhood, considering population density, design, scale and bulk of any proposed new structures, intensity and character of activity, traffic and parking conditions, and number of similar uses.
Will be.
Again, explain why you're making that
finding. Well, for one reason, there are many pole barns such as this scattered around the county and in that area.
Next, the board must find that the proposed use will not be detrimental to use, peaceful enjoyment, economic value, or development of surrounding properties or surrounding neighborhood.
Will not.
And state why you would make that finding.
For this particular use, none of these should be a problem. There will be no noise. Economic value shouldn't change. Should not affect surrounding properties.
Next, the board must find that the proposed use will not cause objectionable noise, vibration, fumes, odors, dust, glare, or physical activity.
Will not. But the protected use, shouldn't be any noise, fumes, or odors.
Next, the board must find that the proposed use will not have a detrimental effect on vehicular or pedestrian traffic.
Will not. They've suggested five cars a day. It's such a minute percentage of the traffic on that road, even though traffic is heavy, it has virtually no bearing on it.
Agreed.
Next, the board must find that the proposed use will not adversely affect the health, safety, security, or general welfare of residents, workers, or visitors in the area.
Will not.
All the visitors or customers will be inside the building.
Next, the board must find that the proposed use will not overburden existing public services and facilities such as schools, police and fire protection, medical facilities, water, sanitary sewer, public roads, storm sewers, drainage, and other public improvements.
Will not.
lastly, the board has to find that the proposed use meets the definition and specific standards set forth in the zoning ordinance. As Mr. Dodd went through, there are quite a number of them. Some of these are not necessarily findings so much as they are requirements of the home occupation, but still we need to go through each of them, and you need to determine that you're satisfied that they've met all of these. First, that the home occupation, so the home occupation can be located entirely within a dwelling, an accessory building, or both. So if it's in an accessory building as is proposed here, the accessory building must be compatible in scale, character, and appearance with the residential character and of the site and the neighborhood.
Does.
Next, the home occupation shall not alter the residential appearance and character of the dwelling, the accessory building, or the lot.
Say that one more time.
The home occupation shall not alter the residential appearance and character of the dwelling, the accessory building, or the lot.
Does not.
It does not appear to alter the appearance of the pole building.
The occupation would not create noise, and you've already made this finding, but again, the occupation will not create noise, odors, fumes, dust, vibration, or electrical interference that interferes with neighboring uses.
Does not.
Does not.
There would be no exterior evidence other than a permitted sign to indicate that the lot is being used for any purpose other than that of a dwelling. Exterior evidence would include outdoor displays or storage, noise, or glare.
I guess that would be does. Be deck, right?
There would be, so you would have to find that there's no, in other words, they can't have an outdoor display other than the permitted signage,
right,
or storage or anything that would indicate that there's a business being.
So it does meet that criteria.
That would be your, that would have to be your finding.
Yes.
Next, the board must find that the home occupation shall be conducted by persons residing in the dwelling. The board may permit up to two non-resident employees to work on the lot in connection with the occupation. So, and the applicant is asking for the board to permit the two, up to two non-resident employees to work there. So, if you if you make a motion to approve, that would be a condition for your approval.
Okay.
And lastly, next, off-street parking for employees, customers, or clients shall be screened from public roads and neighboring properties. Again, that's more of a requirement that they're going to have to
apply. Got to meet.
So we're going to have to, in our motion, we're going to have to make that they screen that with new trees or things like that to screen the parking area.
Oh, that they meet all requirements to gain a permit.
Well, they would have to comply with these requirements if they've obtained a special exception. Lastly, that parcel post and similar delivery trucks are permitted, but the board may limit the number of daily or weekly deliveries that are permitted, and whether deliveries by trucks with more than two axles are prohibited.
Personally, I don't think we need to limit.
I don't either.
It's hard to limit. I mean, I wish it wouldn't. I wish I could limit how many Amazon trucks.
That's what I was going to say.
That's what I'm thinking about, how many trucks come to my house.
I agree. I don't think we can limit that.
So again, I think that's something they're going to have to comply with. The board would have the ability to limit that. They're not asking for it, and if you don't,
I don't think we.
I don't know how you would even police it. I mean,
you'd have to be
following staff.
You would agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
So the board, so that covers the supplementary use regulations for a home occupation and accessory structure. So the board has found that the applicant has met all of the criteria for a special exception.
Okay, with that said, do I hear a motion in regard to this case?
I make a motion to grant a special exception.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I want to address the request, also the request for the employees.
You want to do that?
Yeah, I'll put in my motion that the have up to two employees, two additional employees in county herself, so three total.
Yep. Second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. You got it.
Thank you very much.
I'm looking for house.
My dad does the same thing.
Any old Harold, there, just house.
So then at that point, okay, I don't know what you think.
Do we have any?
If I understood what
you're
saying, she's required to put some trees. Okay, we didn't have to put them in. Okay. They actually will have, like, a clean and a written document with everything. Yeah.